Now, I want to continue on in our series, Learning Lessons from the Life of Our Lord. And I want to come again to this miracle that Jesus performed in the feeding of the 5,000. And so we want to read two portions of Scripture this morning. And the first one is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 31. And the second one is from John's Gospel, chapter 6. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 31. It says here, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And if we would turn now to John's Gospel, chapter 6. And verse 7, the gospel writers compliment themselves, and there's a continuity, and some bring in things that are not recorded in one gospel, so this is just a continuation of where we left off in Mark. And it says here, verse 8, "And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and about unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." We know that the Lord will bless the reading. Now, I pointed out in the last message that we looked at here on the feeding of the 5,000 that this is the only one of the miracles that's recorded in all the 4 Gospels. And we believe the reason for that is because it's underlining and emphasizing the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other miracles are focusing in on his power to heal, his power to give, his power to do many things. But here we see his sufficiency, that there was a multitude who had a need, and Christ was able to come and meet every person at the point of their need. In the previous message, we looked at a phrase in Mark chapter 6, where it says, "This is a desert place." The disciples came to him, and they said, "This is a desert place." And we contrasted the desert place with a watered garden in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. You know that a desert place speaks of barrenness and emptiness and desolation. And a watered garden, it brings before us the picture of fruitfulness and freshness and the fullness of life and a fragrance. And we asked the question a fortnight ago, is your life a desert place, or is it like a watered garden? Is it barren and desolate and nothing growing for God's glory? Or is there a freshness and a fullness and a fruitfulness for him? Now, in this second message this morning, we want to focus our thoughts around a packed lunch. A packed lunch. In the first message, we looked at the desert place and a watered garden. This morning, we're thinking about this packed lunch. And you all know what we're talking about when we use the term a packed lunch, because many of you, I'm sure, as you go to work from day to day, you take your lunch with you. It's a packed lunch. Your wife or your mother makes up a little lunch in your lunchbox, and off you go each morning with your packed lunch. Or you're on a picnic or on a day out somewhere, and you take a packed lunch. And we see the Lord here taking something that was little, but willingly given, and using it to bless thousands. Something that was little, but was willingly given, and using it to bless thousands. The Lord Jesus saw the people. He always had a place in his heart for people. He had always time for people. In John chapter 4, he saw people as souls. Remember, he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white, already to harvest. Christ saw people as souls. Here in this multitude, as they gathered around him, he saw them as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And the teaching went on all day. And then we find the time came when the disciples came to him, and they said, Lord, send the multitudes away, for we have nothing to give them. They have nothing to eat. Send them away into the villages that they might buy food. And we find that here is a multitude, and the disciples wanted to send them away. You know, so often we're like the disciples. There was a problem. There was nothing for them to eat. And we find that the disciples, they wanted to shift the problem onto somebody else. They said, Lord, send them away. We have nothing to give them to eat. And the second thing was this. The second thing was that the disciples spoke of the expense it would take to feed this multitude. And we see here the responsibility of the laborers, because as Jesus reacted to what the disciples said, in particular to what Philip said, he said to them, give ye them to eat. They said, send them away that they might find something to eat. Jesus said to them, you give them to eat. You find something for them to eat. And he's clearly putting the responsibility on them. You know, friends, the Lord says it's time you started to give. My God has given us many things. God has bestowed upon us many blessings. We sometimes sing the little chorus, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise us what the Lord hath done. Only the problem is that many of God's people, they never count their blessings. They never count their blessings. God has given us many things. God has bestowed upon us many blessings. God has multiplied his mercies towards each of our lives. In fact, it says in the scripture that his mercies are new each morning. Every morning that God gives us, every day you open your eyes in the morning, there's new mercies for that morning. But the thing is this, friends, what have we given to the Lord? What have we given to the Lord? Because many of us are happy to receive, but we never give anything back. We never give anything back. What have you given to the Lord's work? What do you contribute to the life of the church? Now, there may be those who are lonely and they're hungry for company. There may be some who used to come every Sunday and now life has caught up with them and age has caught up with them and they're in their own home and they're there 7 days a week. And my dear friends, they're well on in years. Do you ever think of knocking the door and calling in and spending half an hour or an hour with him, with them and giving them a bit of company? How many there are who may appreciate a telephone call? My dear friends, there's so many little things that we can do if we began to think about others and if we began to think about all that God has given for us and done for us and all the mercies he has bestowed upon us. Jesus says to these disciples who came to him with this problem and who tried to shift the problem over to somebody else, he says, you do something about it. You do something about it. I'm sure the folks who are shut in and are not able to get out of the meeting anymore, I'm sure they appreciate your praying for them. I'm sure they appreciate the fact that their name is mentioned. But I'm sure they would appreciate a little call or a little telephone call, maybe, dear friends, as much. So we see the responsibility of the laborers here, and it's good just to remember what God has done for us and what God has given us. So often we focus in on the negative things of life or on the negative things of church life. Let's remember the goodness of God and his mercies and his love bestowed upon us, and oh, that we might seek to give something back to him when we think of all that he has given for us. We see the responsibility of the laborers. And then we see here the sincerity of the lad. Because at this time, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, tells about a young lad that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, Andrew had that personal touch. He had the gift of dealing with people on a one-to-one situation. He was the kind of character that was able to talk to anybody. I'm sure you've met those kind of people. You know, they're maybe sitting on an airplane, and before you know it, they're just sit down and they're in a conversation with them, the person next to them. They've just that knack of being able to talk to anybody. And that's a great gift to have. Not everybody has it. It's a great gift to be able to maybe meet someone in the street and have a conversation with them and bring that conversation onto a spiritual level where you're able to witness to them about the Lord. Now, not everybody has that gift and that ability. And Andrew found this lad in the midst of the multitude with his 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he brings them to the Lord. And we find that the Lord takes these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and he gives thanks for them. And then he begins to break them and distribute them to the disciples, and the disciples distributed them across the multitude. And my, through these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, this lunch that the lad had, Jesus fed the multitude. And I think there's a tremendous lesson for all of us to learn here. It says, there is a lad here. There is a lad here. You know, friends, we see the smallness of the lunch. The smallness of the lunch. It was just enough for one. For a lad. For a young boy. Not enough for a grown man, but enough for a young boy, the smallness of the lunch. And we see the willingness of the lad. You know, he hadn't very much to give, but what he had, he willingly gave it over into the Lord's hands. He didn't have very much, but what he did have, he gave it willingly. The smallness of the lunch, the willingness of the lad, the greatness of the Lord, because the Lord was able to take that which was willingly given and use these humble resources to bring blessing to a multitude. And what was given for one, he took it and he used it to bless 5,000. That's a mighty lesson. You see, there may be a lad here this morning, or there may be a lass here this morning, and there may be a man or a woman here today, and you feel that you're insignificant and unimportant, and maybe you feel that you haven't very much to give, you haven't very much to offer, there's not very much that you can do. All you have is the equivalent of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but if you're willing to give the Lord what you have, he's able to use it and to bless it and to multiply it and make it a blessing to many. Dear friends, God is interested in small things. He's interested in the little things. One thinks of Gladys Aylward, just a young woman who heard the call of God to China, who applied for missionary service, was turned down. But Gladys Aylward believed that God had called her to China, and she wasn't easily put off, and she took on extra work and worked every hour that God gave her until she was able to pay her own way, and she traveled across Europe and into Asia on her own in the days of the Second World War. And my, that little woman was used mightily of God to bring many to Christ. She hadn't very much to give, but what she did, she gave it willingly, and the Lord blessed it. One thinks of Bill Woods, a young man from Belfast, and by his own admission was by no means brilliant at school. Bill Woods again heard the call of God and went to Brazil. And when he was there, he saw the great need that there was amongst the people, particularly those that lived in the jungle, the medical need that there was. And Bill Woods, he resigned and studied and passed his exams and became a doctor. And he was able to go back to those people that lived down the Amazon and in the Acre region. And through that young man, thousands of people have been helped and blessed. And through his ministry, many have been brought to Christ. Dear friends, God is able to take the little things and the small things. And if we willingly give him what we have, he's able to use the little things to bless many. God hath chosen the weak and the small and the insignificant to bring to naught the things that are. And here is a lad in this story who was ready to sacrifice. Is there a lad here this morning? Is there a person here this morning who's willing to lay their all on the altar for God? Is there one here this morning and maybe you feel that, you're insignificant and you can't do very much. But, are you willing to lay your all on the altar and say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And I'll tell you that God can take that which is small and he can use it mightily to bless many and to glorify his holy name. You know, it's interesting to study and go through the scriptures and to think other young men, other young lads. When I think of David, here was a lad who was ready to stand. Remember when David came to Saul and volunteered to face giant while the rest of his brothers and the rest of the host of Israel fled. And Saul said to David, but thou art but a youth. He was just a lad. But he stood against the giant while others ran, and he defeated the giant. And we live in a time, dear friends, when there's many giants. There's the giant of compromise that defies the truth of God's word. There's the giant of falsehood. There's the giant of sinful pleasure. There's the giant of so many things. Is there a lad here, or is there a person here this morning who's prepared to stand up for God? I heard a little snippet of the radio service this morning from Port Stewart. And I thank God for Mr. Woodside, who put up a great defense for God against atheism. Oh, that we might stand for God. A lad who was willing to sacrifice his lunch. A lad who was able to stand in the face of the enemy. One thinks of young Isaac. You remember God gave Abraham Isaac in his old age? And then he tested Abraham's faith and he said, take your son Isaac and put him on the altar on Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. And Isaac by this time must have been around 17 or 18 years of age. And Abraham took him and put him on the altar. Remember that Isaac was big enough and strong enough to have resisted. If you take a lad today, 17 or 18 years of age, and you try to do what Abraham did, they'll be able to resist and probably fight you off, but there was no resistance. You see, here was a young man, and he must have surrendered himself to the Father's will. And the life that surrendered to the will of God the Father, there's nothing that God cannot do with that life. Is there a lad here this morning? Is there a lass here this morning who surrendered to the Father's will? Matt says here in this report that Andrew brought these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then Andrew said this at the end of verse 9 in chapter 6. But what are they among so many? Here's a lad, Lord. You're looking for what we can give the multitude. Here's a lad. And he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all I can find. But what are they among so many? You know, we're all a bit like Andrew, aren't we? No point criticizing Andrew, because you and I would have done the same. What are they among so many? You see, Andrew saw the smallness of the lunch. But we need to see the greatness of the Lord. And we're all like Andrew. Sometimes we see the impossibilities. Sometimes we see the things that's humanly speaking impossible. But we need to see the greatness of the Lord, that he can make the impossible possible. That he can do the things that we cannot do. God can take the little things and multiply them to bless many. We see the responsibility of the laborers. And we see here the sincerity of the lad. And we see the ability of the Lord. Verse 10 says this, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. You know, you may be busy. We live in a day when people are busy. There's a busyness to life. And your day can be so full of legitimate things that need to be done. But if the Lord is going to feed you, you need to sit down. Jesus said, make them sit down. Make them sit down. And they sat down in companies by 50s and 100s. But he says, make them sit down. You see, when You sit at the breakfast table in the morning. You sit down to have your breakfast. And then you're busy for the rest of the morning, and it comes to lunchtime, and you sit down to take your lunch. And then it comes to the main meal of the day, and you come home, and my, after a busy day, and you sit down to take your dinner. You know, we sit down to nourish our body with food, which is absolutely necessary to keep us healthy. We sit down to take our normal meals to feed our physical body. Dear friends, we need spiritual food if we're going to go on with God. And we need to sit down. We need to sit down and take our spiritual food. Do you remember Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word? Do you sit down with the word of God each day? How much time do we spend at the table that the Lord has prepared in the wilderness for us? Now, he has prepared a table for us in the wilderness, and he has food for us there every day. I wonder, friends, how long you spend at the Lord's table each day, the table of his word. Jesus made them sit down. It says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. It was while he took the loaves and the fishes in his hands that he multiplied them and used them to meet the need of the multitude. Tell me this morning, are you in the Lord's hands? It's then that he'll bless you. Have you put your life and your time and your talents into the Lord's hands? It was he that gave them to you. Have you given them back to him? Are you in his hands this morning? Over in Mark's gospel, in the reference there, on verse 42 in chapter 6 of Mark, it says this, and they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled. In this multitude, there were some who were bigger than others. There was some, I'm sure, who had a bigger appetite than others. Those like the lad wouldn't have needed as much as those that were mature men and women. My dear friends, my, there was others, and my, they needed more than somebody else needed. But the fact is this, they were all filled. Everyone's need was met. Everyone's need was met. They did all eat and were filled. There was a sufficiency to meet every individual's need. And you know, friends, there's many here this morning, and our needs are different. Different problems, different challenges, different things in our life. Physical needs, spiritual needs, financial needs, parental needs, so many different needs. Our needs are all different, but there's a sufficiency in Christ this morning to meet our need. Yes, these loaves are typical of Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. And looking at it from this spiritual angle, dear friends, some need grace to help them suffer. Maybe you're suffering this morning, physical pain. Some need grace to help them to suffer the physical afflictions of life. Some need strength for the battle. Others need power to live for God. Others need wisdom to do that which is right. Well, we need to feast our souls on Jesus Christ this morning. We need to feast our souls on him. The Lord is able to make us, meet us at the point of our need. But if he's going to meet our need, we'll have to sit down. We'll have to sit down and we'll have to feast on him. Have to get everything else out of our mind. and from before us and feast on him. And these people's souls were satisfied. They were all filled. I wonder, my dear friends, have you got a spiritual hunger this morning? I believe in these days in which we live that, my, we have lost that spiritual hunger, that hunger for God, that hunger after God's word, that hunger for his presence and for his power. I wonder, did you come out this morning, were you hungering to hear what God had to say for you? Were you hungering after fellowship with God and joining together with his people? Do you get excited about coming to church? Do you look forward to it? Or do you dread it? Or you can find an excuse to do something else, you're prepared to miss it. Well, the only one who's the loser is you. Dear friends, I believe that our soul, if we feast on Christ each day, I believe our soul will be satisfied and filled. What will it be filled with? Be filled with peace. Be filled with power. If we feast on Christ, man, taken up with him, we'll be filled with praise. We'll be able to sing, praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise shall sing? You'll be able to praise the Lord. You'll be filled with pardon for others. I believe if we feast on Christ, we'll be filled with passion for souls. We'll practice practical Christianity. We'll seek to put into practice what the Bible tells us. And the perfume of Christ will come from our lives. See the responsibility of the disciples, the leaders. See the sincerity of the lad. See the ability of the Lord. And finally, in a word, you see the sufficiency of the loaves. It says here, verse 12 and 13. And they were filled, and he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. You know, when they'd finished, the Lord said, gather up the fragments. There was to be no waste. No waste. We live in a day of waste. Look across the world today. See we kids out in Africa starving to death. Not only kids, but ordinary people. Mothers starving to death of no food because of no food. There's no milk to feed their kids. And at Christmas, they throw bags, black bag after black bag after black bag out with the waste. God forgive us. God forgive us. Dear friends, Jesus made sure there was no waste. Gather up the fragrance. You want to plant a wee bit, need to gather up the fragrance of truth. Don't be skipping through your devotional reading. Take time with it. Gather up the fragments. What about the fragments of time? Paul says we're to redeem the time. The bad up. You're wasting your time on things that are silly. What about your talents? God has given us all talents. At least one. Are you using it? Or is it buried in the earth somewhere? God has given you a talent, you never use it. My dear friend, you'll have to answer. Gather up the fragments. We must not waste our life, our opportunities, our money. It's interesting, and with this I close this morning, that they gathered 12 baskets of fragrance And you know, as I thought about that, I just thought, you know, there were 12 disciples that served them. I don't know whether there's anything in it or not, but 12 baskets of fragments and 12 disciples that served them, the Lord was not forgetful of those who served. Each disciple had a basket for himself. The Lord didn't forget those who served. He made sure they had their portions. May we learn lessons, friends, from the life of our Lord. We may not be able to give very much or do very much, but what we do have, if we give it over to the Lord, He can use it mightily for the glory of His name. May you be like the lad this morning, who, although he hadn't very much to give, he willingly gave all, and the Lord blessed it and multiplied it 5,000 times fold. Let's feast on the living bread and find food for our souls. May God bless His word.